Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Tom Brady stood in rarefied air.
I love you.
I played Tom Brady and know what that feels like to watch a penalty not be a penalty.
It's still KC all day, baby. It's still Chiefs Kingdom to me.
It's still real to me, damn it.
You can't call that.
I have not changed my mind about Tom Brady.
I can't take it anymore.
There is no right answer when we talk about who's the GOAT. One man's chicken is another man's gumbo.
$275 worth of Alaskan king crab.
Once you have good people,
Son, it's great to have you.
The trick is to try to have continuity. Please God, one more season that Tommy and Bill Belichick.
Welcome to the Super Bowl.
Our God is an awesome God.
Right now,
we find out what Brewski said about him. We have the Brewski stuff.
Hey, keep the gas on
in
there.
What
on Sports Radio WEEI.
So much time before we get to that actual game. It's unbelievable. We're like a week and a half away. Bradfoe's still looking for our prediction. I made mine on Friday, last Friday.
Yeah.
Just to make sure Bradfoe was pleased with me.
Yeah.
And I had Kansas City beating New Orleans. Do you think I have a good shot?
I don't understand.
Why haven't we had any pressure to do it by now?
I got some pressure.
No, I think
last
they've learned
week.
Less. You know, I hate to like just. I mean, I hate to complain right off the bat.
Go ahead.
I hate to complain because we are flying out on a private jet. If you guys remember last year, I missed Retrix. This opportunity, right?
Yes, so
I
let
fly
it
back
fly.
To Cali. But, and I love the fact that Retrix is actually taking care of us. I cannot
wait.
You
didn't do this last year.
I didn't do it last year, so I'm excited.
What a trip.
Yes.
I jumped on that puppy.
Yeah.
Relaxed, kicked back.
Mm-hmm.
Glass of crown.
Yeah, after our show, right? After our show.
It was great.
You know what the issue is I have this year?
You bring
What's
up a that? Good point,
Before our show.
You bring up a good point.
Before our show, there's no drink. Fellowship. There's
they
no,
can't
like,
drink.
We're not, like, you know, swapping stories and doing drinking games.
Well, I apologize.
We gotta prep.
Yeah, well, I'm taking Spirit Airlines. I've given up my seat to Kirk Minahan.
Oh,
I just want everybody
it.
To know that. I've given it up to Kirk.
I would say
good guy,
speak for
Glenn.
Yourself.
Thank you.
I mean, whatever. 8 a.m. Wake up.
I feel like I
got to
give
Monday.
Something. Yeah. You know what? I got to because I can't get on that flight just drink orange juice.
Is Minahan flying with us?
I'm willing to give him my seat.
You're going to fly on Frontier Air?
He gave me his seat a year ago.
That's true.
I only think it's fair.
Because it was a weight issue, though.
Right.
That was a weight issue.
I can't take it for Glenn. I really can't.
we didn't have that much weight on.
Oh, you missed it last year.
Yeah.
Glenn, leave me alone!
No, Glenn and Jerry.
Oh, God.
Big O and Jerry. They sat next to you.
Oh, bonding.
We had so much room, you could take like your own seat. You know, you didn't need to sit next to someone.
Yeah.
No. These
not
two
these two
sit next to each other.
Oh, it's like Jerry time for like 3 hours.
I love you.
Do you remember that time in 1998? Oh yeah,
we did some 98. We did some good 98.
Did,
talk.
I love.
Yeah, we had some good 98.
Remember that
talk.
One time?
Did some 96 talk.
Yeah.
Did some 87 talk.
Fred
we had some 87 talk.
Yeah. Merlis,
wow, the good old days.
Yeah,
when sports were sports.
Yeah. I can remember in 1987.
Marcus Allen and Fred Smirlis almost went at it.
That was good.
He brought up OJ.
I was there for that one. That
time Jason Wolf came into the office and he was trying to boss you around.
I went to the airport and they strip searched me. And Jesse Jackson
well, you were
was
there. You were there for that one.
It was Jesse Jackson.
Oh, no, you were there for a separate strip search, right?
Back in 2000, they used to let us right in the locker room.
They did.
Now everything's changed. I need credentials. Where's Joey?
Whole world is changed.
People Where's used Joey? To see me and then say, "That's the Big O. Let him through. He's somebody in Boston."
We
all the good old days when people gave a crap about
right.
Jordan.
Before we had security.
Yeah.
You know, before security.
Now it's just
security.
A big. I tell you what. Like, excited for the Pats, but. I swear to God, I hate the Super Bowl.
Why?
I hate it.
What do you mean you hate
the Super Bowl? You hate it. We all hate it.
How do you hate the Super Bowl?
You know why I hate the Super Bowl? Because it's 7 days of like New Year's Eve party. Like there's all these expectations, all this you know, hullabaloo. Yet you go to these parties, you spend the money, you it's nothing but traffic. Mm. Everybody's got that stupid lanyard on, and I'm somebody. I'm with the Patriots party. I'm with this guy. I'm with that guy. The VIP doesn't mean anything. because everybody is VIP. So it's one big giant room of people trying to get bottle service, and it takes a million hours for you to get your drink, if you get one at all. It just drives me crazy. It drives me nuts. Like, the only way to do the Super Bowl is if you're a player. That's it. That is it. Police escort everywhere.
Talking about,
I mean, it is the best.
Talking about, talking about living back in the old days. Yes. Are you kidding me? You're just doing that right now.
I was thinking about it going, screw this.
Let me test this, right? Because you hate the Super Bowl. You don't like going. You, all the reasons you just said.
Yes.
Outstanding. Next year, you want to go to Miami?
That's different.
That's a lot.
Why?
That's different.
Why?
It's Miami. It's sun. It's that gives us, and I'll deal with it in Miami.
But you'll go next year.
Okay, think about
this. I'm going to go back next year, too.
Think about the stupid Super Bowls that they've been to, like crappy locations. Can we get a good location?
You didn't like Minnesota?
Minnesota. Like,
Arizona, Minnesota, LA.
New Orleans.
Arizona sucked. You know why Arizona sucked when we went down there? You weren't even here, Ordway. It's like the one time out of the whole year where they had like five days of rain.
Other than Ben's? Well, you're right. It rained
every single day.
Every day.
You know when it got sunny? When we all left. That day when we all left, that Monday, it got nice.
New Orleans was great. New Orleans, every time they've been in New Orleans.
It's the dirtiest city in the United States.
Stop it.
What are you talking about?
You're such picky.
It's nasty. Anybody throwing up in the street?
Not for the Super Bowl. Super Bowl, they cleaned it up. They cleaned it up for the Super Bowl.
It's the same as Mardi Gras, but they just camouflage it with Super Bowl banners.
Exactly. They camouflage.
Have you ever been to Mardi Gras?
It's like Disney. They camouflage. It's all fake. It's all phony.
Sucks.
I can't believe you hate the Super Bowl.
I do hate the Super Bowl. I flat out 100% hate the Super Bowl. As a guest, as a player,
the only way
they
walk
you right in. Wait till you get searched on your way back.
No, it's awesome because like everyone's there.
That was my
Here's the mentality you have. It's like your birthday, right? Everybody's coming to celebrate you. Like 7 days of people celebrating you. I know there's other people on the team, and there's two teams.
I was gonna say.
But everybody's there to see you.
Fourier.
They're here to honor you. They're spending all their money to see you.
No, they want to see Tom Brady.
You're part of it. Beyond like a special team, so they're coming to see you.
Oh, yeah.
So you're like, yeah.
David
this
Andrews.
Is what it's all
they're
about.
Coming to see David.
Yes,
no, they're coming to see Tom Brady.
They're coming to see David Andrews, Tooney, Jack Mason, all of them.
Vrabel, maybe. Not you.
No, that's what it's all about.
Oh, God.
Hey, I'm with Intercom.
Who? What? So it was the 25th anniversary on Monday of the Crafts owning this franchise, and obviously it's had a major impact in sports in this town. There's no question about it because this is now the greatest dynasty in the history of sports. When you think of the conditions,
big impact on the league.
You're in free agency period now, where everybody can go from one team to the next. All right, mm-hmm. Everything is so different. They've worked out parity through the draft and everything else, and yet here you are, 18 years and 9 of those years, you are right there in the Super Bowl. So he goes on this morning with Michael Strahan, Good Morning America, and the one that jumped out at everybody that everybody all over the country is all over right now, did he leak out that this thing is about to end with Bill and maybe with Belichick? Listen to this.
Well, you know, in anything in life, the key is getting good people around you and creating a culture where everyone is open to disagree. But keep it in the family, which is hard sometimes, especially in a business that's so public. And once you have good people, the trick is to try to have continuity. And I'm happy, you know, please God, one more season that Tommy and Bill Belichick, who are the best at what they do, in my opinion, will be with us for 20 years, two decades. In a business where parity, we all spend the same amount of money. When you do well, you draft lower, you play a hotter schedule, you know, and then you need some luck.
So hold on. We're praying to God that we get to 20? Didn't Jonathan Kraft just a couple weeks ago say, stop it, calm down, everybody.
Yeah.
It's all worked out behind closed doors. We all know what's going to happen.
Tom's under contract for next year, and I think hopefully people have seen that there's a real understanding between all of us about how that situation is going to work into the future. And Tom, we're so lucky to have him as the quarterback and the leader of our football team.
So it was the understanding we're praying to get to year 20? One more year?
Oh, so Jonathan's sitting there saying, listen, we all know. everybody here knows. We have an understanding.
I know
of
you
how
know
how long this thing is going to last. Okay, you guys keep speculating all you want, but between us in here, Bill, Tom, me, my father, we all know. And then Robert goes on. He's like, please, God, one more year together.
Please, God, one more season of Tommy and Bill Belichick. Who? What?
Did he look to the sky? Did he look at like, God, please?
Robert,
no, no,
give me a sign. Give me a sign. Just a light, a lightning bolt.
Please, God, help me. Just give me a sign.
When you're
let
staring
me
at the abyss, trust me, you find God.
Is he in those meetings, Robert? Or is it
no
just
idea. God that, I mean, see, okay, so
everybody's like, okay. Like a Southern Baptist.
Okay, we have,
Jesus Christ, please, let me. Tommy Boy, please let him play one more year.
So I'm writing this off in that I've seen Bob Kraft do this before where he almost does it in a theatrical, dramatic way of saying, oh, please, you know what? This is a bunch of crap what he did today. And he did it, I think, just because this is what he does. He throws it out for effect.
That time of year.
And he was trying to say how great it is to have the greatest quarterback, which he said the other day, the greatest coach or whatever.
Please, God.
Because I believe the chances of Brady and Belichick leaving after this year. If I've got an odds board, it's slim and none, and I'm putting my money on none. And I think the same thing a year from now. I'm putting it all on none. It's
well,
not
I
happening.
Would say, so this whole, like, remember when Brady, not Brady, but Bill was talking about, like, people asking about how long he's going to stay, and, you know, he basically was like, use Marv Levy as an example. And I don't know how old Marv Levy was, but I know Romeo.
I think Marv went into his 70s.
I mean, I'll be like Marv Levy and coaching when I'm in my 70s. You don't have to worry about that.
So coach into his 70s or coach till 70?
Coach into his 70s.
Into his 70s. I was thinking about this because Romeo Crennel is 71, right? I mean, it doesn't seem like he's having any issues. Doesn't seem like seems like he's getting along fine.
How old is Dante Scarnecchia?
Well, it's Dante Scarnecchia, he's not human. So I don't think you can use him as an example.
Okay.
Like he's like a robot.
So I'll tell you what. So you
but he's also not the head coach either. I think there's a difference. Like
Well, they still work a lot of hours though, right? The hours.
Scarnecchia is 70. So
the hours.
And he quit once. He retired.
He retired once.
Bill never should have said that. What year did he say that? How long ago did he say that? 4 or 5 years? 3 or 4 years ago?
No, longer than that, I believe.
Was it?
What year is that? Do we know the time on that one, Ryan? We don't know the time, but it was a while back.
So what is he now? How old is he now?
He's 66. He'll be 70 in April.
Okay.
67 in April.
Big jump.
Big jump.
He's like six, birthdays like you do.
Right, he's like 6-7 years younger than you. So I think he's going to...
About the same age.
I think that, he's going to go into his 70s.
No question.
You know, 72, 3, 4.
Yes. No question. I've been saying this for how many years? He's not going anywhere. He loves
about 6
it.
6 months.
He loves it. You know, the only thing that would deter him from continuing on is if he had a health issue, okay? Which usually is
sounds
the
familiar.
Right.
Kind of like the quarterback.
Yeah, usually the case.
What if his kid moves on and gets promoted to a different organization, and now that family bond is no longer there?
And you think he leaves?
Well, you seem to think, through people, that that's one of the things that's kind of, I don't know, what's that word?
Reinvigorate?
That's the word.
There you go.
Yes.
We're a team here.
It's what you do when you're on a private jet and you start drinking at 7 in the morning.
Well, I already have been. I'm on medication right now. I got this thing going on in my tooth. But anyway.
Still.
It's unbelievable. But still, don't you think that that's sort of like, hey, now I have my kids with me. You know, now it's just for the next 2-3 years. Let's see what my, you know, help my kids kind of thing. But maybe in 3 years or 4 years, the kid moves on. Now he's defensive coordinator in another organization.
Can it be just as simple as, I just feel like it's like when older guys, I've seen this all, use Joe Gibbs as an example. Use really any coach. Like, you're institutionalized. You're, who's the guy from Shawshank Redemption? The guy that ends up hanging himself.
Yeah. That was real institutionalized.
Who's that? Who's the guy that hangs himself? Brooks was here.
Yeah. Yes.
Brooks Hadley.
Yeah.
Right? So Brooks, he's institutionalized. He doesn't know what it's like to be outside of Shawshank, a.k.a.
Really?
Gillette Stadium.
You're comparing that
so
to
he
coaching
leaves.
In the NFL.
No, he leaves.
He's comparing it to the Patriots.
Yes, he leaves, and he has
Shawshank.
No. Yeah, there's
it's
no.
A good one.
I mean, that's what I feel like. So when you leave that organization, unless you just have a. I just feel like it's too late for you to do anything else. It's too late for you to go play golf all day, go fish all day. What is he going to do with his life? Honestly, this is what you do.
Yeah,
he doesn't have a NASCAR team
to
coach.
We're not talking about an athlete that's like 41, 42 and saying that's old. But in real life, it's still 42. It's young.
He's a fun dog.
You're going to be talking about a coach that is 70. You say, what are you going to do with your life? You're 70. You
he
spend
would
the rest of it the way everyone
his
should.
Mind. He would lose his
Hang
mind.
On your boat.
No, not enough. It's not challenging enough. I'm going to put my... No, I just... You
so
guys know what it's like.
He's going to coach till he's 80?
Maybe. Maybe. In some capacity, yeah, I think he's going to be involved. And boxers do the same thing. Right? Maybe it's financial for them, but whatever. Remove that part of it. But this is just what they do. They retire. They try to come back. This is what Bill does. So I have a hard time. He's not going to be a booth guy. He's not going to be a TV commentator guy. He has so much disdain for those people anyways. would it be a consultant? Like, Parcells? Possibly. Would he be one of those guys?
Not for a while.
I just don't see it. So, or is he the guy that just disappears? Coughlin?
Not for a while.
Sure, Tom Coughlin. Yeah. Down in Jacksonville. Yeah. Where he's running the team.
Is there a chance, like Coughlin? I mean, I know he went to Jacksonville. Is there a chance that part of his life, he's a consultant, but not here? Giants.
Who? Bill? Yeah. Bill? Giants. No, I think Bill. I think Bill finishes up his career
Jets.
Here.
No, no. You know, it all depends.
I think he wants
on,
to go to the Jets and build that program.
Like, if he's going to follow if you say he's going to hang out on a boat, well, then he should be a Jimmy Johnson. Head down to Florida, be a consultant for the Dolphins. You know, go on his boat every day, walk into work in flip-flops and a T-shirt, Vineyard Vines T-shirt.
I don't see it. The comment he made about not being like Marv Levy and playing into his 70s was made in 2009. So in 2009, it was a little bit different. There's a lot that's happened.
2009?
Are you sure? Yes.
Yeah, it was forever.
So he's like 2009. 58,
we just looked it up.
57, 58, whatever.
Right. So at that time, he's looking at it, saying you want to do it. But here's what's happened since then. One, he still absolutely loves it. Two, he's extremely healthy. He's got all of his, faculties. He's able to go out there and coach at a high level. Matter of fact, at 66, almost 67, he's coaching at a higher level than any one of these other coaches in the league.
With every day and every cold day with the hood, he looks more and more like the woman from Goonies.
Okay. the look, the shell, you're looking at the exterior. See, you're one of those guys.
Well, I'm just saying.
You're one of those guys. You look at the exterior, you don't look at the interior.
Right.
I think the interior's in pretty good shape.
Important than this, Luke.
His son, Steven and Brian, I think that's part of it. I think he loves this. He gets an opportunity to go to work every day and spend time with his adult kids, which a lot of people don't have the opportunity to do. Once your kids become adults, you rarely see them. And he gets to do it every single day. I think that's a big part of it. It's an interesting question if one of them goes elsewhere. I don't think they're going elsewhere.
I think the kids
are going to move up in the hierarchy of this organization. I think that's what's going to happen.
I think I am, but in that situation, I think it's like where the kids would have to leave, like make their own name somewhere else and then come back. I don't think it's one of those, my son is a defensive coordinator. I feel like Shanahan did that, right? And it worked out for him. And maybe there's some inspiration there to have the same thing happen where then his son ends up leaving and being a head coach someplace else, right? Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe.
But I was thinking about it today driving in. Like, if Romeo Crennel is still doing it as a defensive coordinator, and he kind of stepped away. Mike Vrabel was a defensive coordinator, and he was just a consultant. He didn't have the pressure of installing and doing all the work or calling the defense. And maybe he got refreshed. But I would also say, once you kind of walk away, I think you realize in a hurry after like 6-7 months.
Man, what do you do?
That you just like,
what do you do every
day? But you also, you're conditioned to go, okay, well, it's draft time. Well, I got to prep. Well, I mean, the summer's coming around. My first game's in like a month. Like, you don't know what to do with your time.
We were talking about Brady yesterday and why Brady doesn't retire. And I heard it again. Media people here on the station saying the same thing. Oh, he wins and he'll walk away. You watch too many movies. Tom Brady loves what he's doing right now. And it's not even the money. He knows what the money would be if he comes back. It's not even the money. It's the fact that he loves showing up and doing it every single day.
Please God.
I think Belichick is the exact same way. He wouldn't know what to do. He loves it. So I'll throw it out to you because it's been thrown about now after this Bob Kraft thing. One, two, or three. Who retires first, second, and third? Gronk is 29. He'll be 30 in May. Brady is 41. He'll be 42 next August. That's before next football season. Belichick is 66. He will turn 67 in April.
That's some good percentages still.
All right, so who goes
who
first?
Hires first? Who retires first, second, third?
I think it's obvious to most. I think Gronk is the first one to go.
I think it is obvious.
I don't know if it's that
the
obvious.
The youngest guy retires first.
Yes. I don't know if it's that obvious. I think you guys are, once again, victims of the moment. Can I get an echo when I say that? Victims of, so he's going to be 30. in May. All right, I'm just going to bring myself back to when I was 30. I thought I was old, but I didn't realize how young I was until I was 40. Like, I'm 30? You're young.
Yeah, he's
you haven't done...
He's
okay,
I mean,
and so did I, and
it.
So do so did a ton of other
retiring.
People. But his position, his what's required of him will change. He will not, and his pay will... his pay will follow that. And I'd say he's got another 4 or 5 years.
Oh, geez.
Easy.
That was my next question.
Easy.
Four or five years?
Yeah, this whole...
Well, the body holds up for 4 or 5 years,
so
though.
Overrated and over-exaggerated. It's really starting to drive me crazy. Like, you guys look at this guy like he's a cripple. Like, he's falling apart. So he had a rough patch during the middle of the year. Whoa, welcome to the NFL. Welcome to the freaking NFL. Every single one of them. Good luck going through a season without having something that you got to fight through. That because especially if you're like on the verge, right? It's not bad enough where you're out for like 5 weeks, and it's not, you know, good enough where you can kind of fight through it and not and your play not get hurt by it. That's where he was. He was right in the middle.
So let me ask you this question: you think it's possible?
No way.
He plays for 4 or 5 years. If that's the case,
you guys are
hold on.
You
hold
honestly
on.
Aren't looking
if,
at it right.
Maybe not.
So who retires first?
But here,
Brady.
Oh my God!
Brady is done first.
Wow,
Brady. Okay, you guys
I'm kind
remember
of shocked
that
when you said
guys,
it was obvious?
You know,
I thought it was obvious too. Gronk, Brady, Belichick. That's
right.
My order.
I'm gonna.
Is that your order?
Yes.
Do you remember when we were
that's
talking?
The right
to,
order.
We were talking to Bill about a certain tight end that used to play for him. We're talking about who's the you know put Gronk.
Yeah, the Paisan.
Put
Bavaro.
I mean, I love Mike Vrabel.
Put Bavaro and Gronk in like a cage. Two men enter, one man leave. They're the same guy. Like, they're basically, the personalities are obviously different because Bavaro was very quiet, whatever. Gronk's very, you know, just, you know, he's Gronk, right? You define it how you want. But Bavaro never kept going, and he played the same exact way when you could get hit low, high, in the head. Practices were longer, 2 days for 4 weeks, 5 weeks sometimes, with Bill Walsh as his coach, with going against Harry Carson, Lawrence Taylor, and all those guys. Every single day, he's not going anywhere.
Do you know when
he's
retired?
Not going
Do you know when
anywhere.
Mark Bavaro retired?
How old
was
he?
Was? Yeah.
He was 31.
31, correct.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're talking about 30 next season for Gronk, and you think he's going to go 4 years, 3 years?
But I would also say
beyond
Bavaro?
Okay,
so Bavaro, a different, again, if they could do to Gronk what they did to Bavaro, and he was going through the same type of...
Saying a complete transition into who Gronk is.
I just think
moving forward, they're going to come to him and say, "We don't want to spend $12 million for you. We're going to cut your pay." And he's going to say, "Fine, extend me for 2 years."
That's what happens when you're old.
You know
that's what happens when you're old.
I will be a force. I will be Dwayne Allen. Only I'll catch 45 balls a year. That's who I am.
No, what will happen is he'll still get paid good money. But it's not going to be, hey, I'm in my prime money.
Well, no, look at Dwayne Allen guy. What's he at? Six.
Yeah,
six
I mean,
and a half?
He's more valuable because he can catch
and he can do the blocking.
So even what they end up doing is, okay, you're 30 now, so we're gonna you know change the chart around. Okay, we think we're not going to give you as many years because we're not sure. So we'll give you a 3-year deal. You know, $15 million, something. I don't know, something like that. And then you know what? And we still want you to be the guy.
I would
but
love
here's this younger
that.
Guy. That we kind of want you to mentor.
I would love
that's the transition.
To bring him back at a lower price for the next 2 or 3 years. Maybe more of a blocking. Look, seems like they're transitioning anyways as far as the running game goes. He still can be a threat. Don't sleep on him. Kind of like Hogan, doing Hogan things. I don't see it.
Maybe.
Do you think Gronk is like maturing in front of our eyes? Or is he changing? Because he's not the same Gronk, right? Would you agree? The last
years? I mean,
he's not a jokester. He's not a clown.
No, I
haven't heard a 69 joke in a long time.
When you're in pain, it's like it's hard to find things that are.
Well,
funny.
No, I'm just saying. So when you do it like a stupid poll, I don't know who did this stupid thing. Anyways, so Jeff Howe, they're in a bye week when they asked like everybody like who's the biggest jokester in the locker room. Gronk did not receive one vote. Not one vote.
What's your favorite speed limit out there?
Like, I still look at that and say, how's that possible? Because for years it was like, it's just Gronk being Gronk, man. He's always joking around. It's just he's like a big kid, and he's a jokester. He's a clown. Not one vote as far as, like, funny guy, clown in the locker room for Rob Gronkowski.
Repeat the poll.
So, is he mature? Is he like, you know what? That was the old me. I've grown up. No more jokes about 69. No more joke. Or does he just look like he's miserable? Or just different.
I think we all over exaggerate it, just everything as we do, as
of
we
course,
tend to do.
We
and when you
do
allow
that,
yourself,
though.
It just,
but
he'll,
aren't you over-exaggerating now when you say he's going to play for 4 or 5 years?
I would say, so think about how quickly 4 years goes by. Honestly, 4 years will go by in a heartbeat. And you'll sit there and go, wow, I'm 34. I can still do this.
Christian, if he goes 4 or 5 years, you're saying he ends up in a Patriot uniform for four or five years.
He's not going anywhere next year. He's staying this year under this contract. I don't think
I'm not sure about
after that. Well, his contract is over. No. Then you start renegotiating.
No. I think he stays, but I think you already said it. He'll take less money.
You said when a player gets to 30.
In this situation, you got to look at it differently, and you Christian, take less money.
You think that they're gonna pay a $12 million cap hit for Robert?
I don't buy that.
Yeah,
I do not. No, yeah. That's not the way the Patriots operate.
Brady is the only
one that can get away with that. Nope, Brady is playing still
at
a high level.
I'm going to enjoy that game on next Sunday, and I'm going to watch Rob Gronkowski in a Patriots uniform for the last time. No. I think there's
69 touchdowns.
Those are the old days. I think there's a shot he would come back at less money next year, but I think it would be for a year. I don't think it's long term. And I don't think he wants to play elsewhere because I think he's already has his sights on his next career. And to do it, you've got to be high profile. You can't be a guy that's getting 18 catches in the course of a season because you can't stay on the field and you disappear for two seasons.
The thing that we don't know is that I really believe that he has a lot of people in his life that he listens to.
Yes.
You know, and it's
I think we know that.
We know that. And it's going to be like, hey, you know, they don't want to bring you back at, $4 million? You really want to go through that again, you know, physically? Look at yourself. It's not you. You're not you this year. I mean, I just think that he's influenced by a lot of people, you know, family, looking out for his best interest. I just don't see him coming back next year. I think they're going to sit there and say, we're not paying $12 million. We can get out of it for two.
All right.
We're going to give you this. And he's going to say, no, I'm not going to do it for that money.
All right, so 1, 2, 3. Who retires first? Who retires second? Who retires third? I think this whole idea that Brady is calling it quits at the end of this year or next year is crazy. And even more so with Belichick. I think he is here for a long time. All right, we get to the phone calls and hit it up with you at 617-779-7937.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at a guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. The Patriots are headed to Super Bowl 53 to face the Rams. Talk about it now. Now back to OMF. Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI.
36 Patriots had played in an AFC championship game. The Chiefs, zero.
Hey, keep the gas on it now!
I don't even know what I just said.
In the first half, the Patriots held the NFL's top offense to just 32 yards. They limited Tyreek Hill to just one catch the entire game.
You don't like this defense? You should love this defense! This is probably the best defense ever! You gotta love this one! Hey, just keep making it hard on them!
Get the receivers!
Yeah!
Our Russ will get there.
Tell you what, the best part of that last night inside the NFL was tremendous. It was tremendous. All mic'd up, tremendous. Mm-hmm. Even Phil Sims. Phil Sims might have sucked doing the analysis job at games. He's good in the studio. I'm sorry, he's good. He actually is entertaining at times. Ray Lewis. We all hate Ray Lewis. I love him on that show. Just wacky.
When you can understand them.
Yeah. Well, they slow it down.
Is that what they do for him?
Yeah. But
doesn't put the words in a better order so I can understand what
he's saying. The one thing that's obvious is Edelman doesn't shut up during these games.
I think he knows that. I mean, it's obvious, right, that he and Devin are mic'd.
Mic'd, yeah.
He probably knows.
Yeah, right.
You think he knows it?
Hey, keep the gas on it now!
I like that.
If you knew you were
right. I like that one, though. He's like, hey, keep it on that now!
Hey, keep the gas on it now!
What?
Then he says, I've listened to that 30 times.
Keep the gas on him.
Anybody can tell me what he's saying.
That's what it is.
Keep the gas on them.
Hey, keep the gas on it now!
It sounds like a baseball bullpen, like a pop, like a little league. Hey, I'm going to need everybody now. Hey, I'm going to get that little pep.
Hey, keep the gas on it now!
Oh, keep that gas on it now!
But then he sits down, he's like, I don't even know what I just said.
I don't even know what I just said.
Keep the gas up just, on them now.
He just talks about it. It's actually the first thing.
He had dip in his mouth.
It's I actually, don't know. He
it's,
might have.
It's actually the first thing that he's doing where he's not copying Tom Brady, because Brady, the last thing Brady wants to do is be mic'd up, right? So in this case, Edelman is standing up. But I thought the best.
Hey, keep the gas on it now.
Wait, hold on. If you were mic'd up, wouldn't you?
A weak ground ball to short.
Here, get a little pep now. Here, get a little pep. Hey, wouldn't you?
Run up, pitcher.
Here, get a little pep. Hey, little pep.
Oh, you know what I just said.
Wouldn't you, if you were mic'd up, wouldn't just naturally, wouldn't you try to say something cool? Like,
yeah, but when you try, you're in trouble.
But he did it one time.
Everybody does, though.
Yeah, yeah,
he did it one time. Nobody.
Well, the line of Richie
like
call last week all night long.
All
like
night
line
long.
Of Richie.
Yeah.
Like, oh my
how about
God.
How about when they score and then they come back to the bench and he starts screaming
too
at Brady,
old.
"You're old."
Again, it is Van Noy, and he has been the biggest culprit in this first half.
Yeah, all day.
Hey, let's take a 90. Nice ball! Thanks, baby. Thanks, baby. You're too old!
You're too old.
Here's the thing. If you really want true mic'd up, you can't
tell them.
Tell them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell them.
But
I'm telling you.
They
all have like a choreographically cliche. Like,
of course
Lawrence Taylor, that always reminds like, you know, Lawrence Taylor knew he was mic'd up when his arm would come to you like a bunch of crazed dogs. He sacks the quarterback. You make the wrong day to be a quarterback.
I love those, though. The sound effects. I love
those.
Whether they know they're mic'd and they're sort of feeding it a little bit, but you love that stuff. Remember the first time it was like that Seattle Super Bowl, right? That one was awesome, right? The whole
Malcolm Go.
But you say it's best if they don't know if they're mic'd up.
Yes.
Do you think D. Ford knew he was mic'd up?
Nullified. Brady is going to turn and give it to Burke, and he runs left behind Devlin. He blows his way to the end zone, and they regain the lead with 39 seconds on the clock.
They said I was on the ball sides.
That was high.
Was I? What's that?
Where do you think you'd want to have that conversation mic'd up?
I don't see. He wasn't mic'd up, though. That was like the boom.
Right. Yes, that was
that
the boom.
That was like... honestly, you watch that thing for like a split second. I actually felt bad for some of like the little kids in the stands that didn't look happy, you know. But in D4 was like that one moment. He's like, "Man, they said I lined up both sides." And then he looks at it, he's like, "Huh?
What's that?"
And then they show the clip of him looking at the tablet. He's like, "Damn."
I was offside. Yeah. Real time information.
See, the one thing that came out of that game, which was really strange, and nobody is being critical of him at all, probably because they simply liked the guy. And there was some questions about Andy Reid's time management late in the game. But how about the excuse after the game in which Andy Reid said, usually the officials come to us and warn us.
They don't make that call.
They don't make that call.
Yeah.
They warn us. Could you imagine if Bill Belichick made that statement and said that? What the narrative would be out there? Nobody's making a big deal about it.
Here's the thing, though. He's right, but it's not like consistent. Like sometimes, like you'll go in motion, and they used to if you angle towards the line of scrimmage, they call it shaving. Right, you're not supposed to angle towards the line of scrimmage. That's considered like a procedural penalty. If you do it, like the refs will say, "Listen, I see you're going in motion. Like, don't do it anymore." Tackles always try to cheat back as much as they can, and then the refs say, "Listen, you're going too far back. Listen, just as a courtesy, listen, just scooch up, right?" But they don't have to. I mean, it's they don't have to do it at all, and that's why it's like it's never consistent because some refs do it, some refs don't. Some refs give you a courtesy, you know, "Hey, listen, be careful. I don't want you to be the reason why they lose the game, D4. So you better, you know what? That's and maybe they did
you
say something
that
to
baseball him. Before instant replay, especially like turning a double play." You know what I mean? Like you turn a double play and they'll call it and then they'll be like, "Hey man, just try to touch the ball."
Hey,
like, just
keep the ball down
and
down.
You know what I mean? Like a shortstop coming around that bag and just catching and throwing, your foot doesn't touch it. It's like, "Hey, don't get carried away with that. You know, just give me an effort." Now it's replay, so you have to.
Yeah, I would say they even do it with holding. They used to do it with certain refs would pretty much do it with everything because they didn't want to take away from the game. They didn't want to slow it down. And they didn't really want to get ticky-tack with like some of the calls. Like if it was close, you know, whatever. So listen, be careful. If you do it again, I'm going to throw a flag.
So after that interception, before the D4 D Ford offsides. There was a player that came up to Julian Edelman.
Who was that?
And basically said to him, hey, you're a great player. You're a terrific, you know. But, like, the game is over. Like, we just won the game. I mean, when you see that now and you listen to the audio.
And Edelman just, he's just embarrassing. Devastated.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, hey, man, respect you. You know, good game. I respect you. And Edelman's just, because you know, next thing you know, it's like neither one of these guys know a flag has already been thrown.
They both had their backs to it. That part of it I thought was embarrassing. I mean, it's sitting there going, you don't say anything, do you, Christian, until the game is over?
No.
In that respect?
Well, that game is over.
I mean, I think it's like, then why take a knee? You know, like, why do defensive players take a knee?
I'm not talking about taking a knee. I'm talking about turning around and seeing if there's a flag on the play.
Good game, boy. Hey, I respect you, bro. But a penalty offside on Kansas City.
Uh-oh. That is, so you're now
he turns
you're
around
like,
that guy's
crap.
Like, ain't over yet, bro.
Oh, no. Oh, that is.
Yeah, that's bad.
No, that would hurt a little bit.
We got some more good stuff. We'll get to it a little bit later on with both Ray Lewis and Lou's best buddy, Gene Steratore.
My man.
We'll get to that a little bit later on. He's figured out exactly what happened in New Orleans, and he has the reason why.
Accent?
He had the reason why. No, he's toned it down.
No accent?
He's going non-ethnic.
He's too corporate.
Do you know that? He's going non-ethnic.
No, he just hates
like
corporate
it. Steratore.
Why are your hands moving?
A lot of game left, man.
I don't like it. Let's go.
We'll get to it.
Championship play, baby. Let's go. Bring it up today, all right? All right. Who we got? We all set?
He's not doing
Let's
that
go.
Anymore.
Let's stay some focused now. Let's go.
He's not doing
That's
it anymore.
That's what I want him to do. Hey, Ray, what do you got on this call? Hey, yeah. Yo, Ray. Right. Ray. Yo, Steve Smith Sr. What do you think, huh? Should I call the flag?
Yeah, what do you think?
It was.
To the phone calls we go. Here's John in the car. What do you got, John?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, there's so many components of this game that if it were the other way around, it would be national news. But that's not why I called. I called to talk about yesterday. You guys were talking about, is this the Patriots' quote unquote greatest playoff run? And Christian brought up the 2003.
Yep, we forgot one because it wasn't. It's not. But go ahead.
But anyway, the 2003 team. I mean, they had a couple of losses in the beginning of the year. I think they lost to Buffalo and then they lost to Washington. It was the last loss I remember. But anyway, like you said, they won 12 in a row. And as a fan, I mean, obviously you guys know football a lot better than I do, but as a fan looking in, that team during that playoff run, there was never a doubt in my mind that they were going to win those games. I mean, watching.
Well, that's the fan in you. Were you thinking logically?
I'd like to think so, but like.
So what were you basing it on? Were you basing it on the history?
No, a better question is this, John. Have you ever felt they weren't going to win?
They weren't going to win in 2003. No,
did you ever feel, you ever felt the Patriots were never going to win a game?
Oh, yeah, this year. My son's a huge fan. He's young, and
so I'm confused. I thought he was talking about this year.
Bigger homer than
trying to get to
B-A-T-S, Bats.
I told them I thought we were going to lose the Chargers game. I told them to get prepared to lose the Chargers game.
Okay, all right.
The body of work for the year, and I just didn't see him winning. And I'm completely.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
I have no idea where he was.
I'll say this: when he said about the 0-3 that we were having a discussion this year, 0-3, we did. We forgot about 0-4. And I think we forgot about it because it was an absolute juggernaut and probably, I think, the best Patriots team of all time.
It was.
Right? Christian, would you agree? I mean, you're on that football team.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the impressive run, and we forgot about the 0-4 run because that team was so dominant. But what you did against Peyton Manning, who threw 49 touchdowns that year and put up 49 points the week before, and you beat him 24-3. And then to go at Pittsburgh, who was the number one seed that year at 15-1, and win at Pittsburgh, those two teams, Pittsburgh and Indy, were the two best teams they ever beat to get to the Super Bowl that year. Now, your team is a juggernaut, so that's where it's different from this one.
See, those
two teams are the best opponents you had to get to through the Super Bowl.
Yeah, see, I look at and that was Roethlisberger's rookie year, though. That 0-4 that you're talking about.
Rookie year or second year?
Well, when you played him in Pittsburgh,
yeah.
He was a rookie.
Okay.
Because he threw like a bunch of picks.
15-1.
Yeah. But I still look at the 0-3 one, just, and I know the record maybe does it, but you're going against co-MVPs.
Right? Yeah, that's a war.
I mean, I know. I mean, that's what I'm. That, yeah, but that's you were, why I'm sticking with it because
but you were the favorite.
If you're looking at it,
you were at
really,
home. You were at home.
Co MVP.
You were the favorite.
You were at home.
You took down. Games. You took. It's like you took down Patrick Mahomes twice.
I'm just saying, like in 01, 04, and this year, you had to go on the road in the AFC title game. Those three automatically, I think, go above 03. Just because you had to go on the road.
Yeah, I think that's a huge factor. And, you know, when you, and that's why, you know, when you look at the whole body of work, when it's all said and done, that first one in 01, you're a 14.5 point underdog in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So when this is all said and done, I'm not sure you move this one to the top of the list of saying this one surprised you the most. 2001 surprised you the most.
Well,
they were favorite, I believe, in the Snow Bowl game. They were favorite at home in that game. But, and even more so, I think, because Oakland had that really high-powered offense, and now you've got the snowstorm, and you're sitting there going, oh, right, slowing us right down. You had natural grass. We're slowing us right down. Exactly what we this wanted this thing. Factor. But in the end, you ended up beating the greatest show on turf. It's
fresh-cut grass.
It's 14.5-point underdog indoors, right in their, you know, in their living room there. Here's Bruce in Lowell. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Bruce.
I just want to bring up a point. Everybody's, you know, I listened to Stephen A. Smith going off about this rule change that, you know, Patrick Mahomes didn't get a chance to see the field, right? Everybody's been talking about it, correct? Maybe change the rule. If they score a touchdown, the other team should at least get a chance to do it.
Yes.
So what I did was I went back on YouTube, and I'm looking at shows after they beat Atlanta when they got the coin toss, and they went and beat Atlanta. Not one person mentioned that the rule should be changed. I just want to know what you guys think about that.
Well, I don't know about not one person. I think it was discussed, but I feel like this one's gotten more attention.
Really?
Than that one.
I remember, I think... Yeah.
It was talked about.
Yeah. There was a little talk about it, but I think it was diminished by the fact that, please, they came back from 28-3.
Yeah, 28-3.
So, just like, big deal about it. Just like the Saints winning the toss and not winning has been forgotten because of the pass interference call.
Right.
So earlier in the day, a team won the coin toss and didn't win the game. So, I mean, but nobody's talking about that, right? Because we're still talking about the pass interference call.
I actually went back and listened to quite a few of those guys on the shows, and I listened to Stephen A. Smith, and they didn't mention it once. All they talked about, like you guys said, the 28-3 comeback, but nobody said anything about Patriots winning the coin toss, going down and winning the game. Not like they're talking about it now.
Well, I don't think.
And by the way,
here's the thing: we were.
There was some conversation.
No, because we were like stuck in some closet in that game, like we couldn't get out or something like that.
You and I were stuck in.
Yes,
a closet.
Okay. I came out of the closet. You decided to stay in for some reason. I have no idea.
Right.
You come out when you're ready. No one's going to force you.
You're a man of all people.
Okay, but it was that rule sucks. It's a stupid rule. They're
Except
almost there.
It's never going to change.
No, it will change.
It won't change.
Why?
Because you're already hearing it. You're already hearing it now. There are anonymous coaches that are popping up and saying the safety issue. The players would have to play too many extra minutes.
No, that's stupid.
That's what's going to be.
We're not talking college football rules.
The Players Association is going to fight
it. How many plays would you get? Oh, it's so dumb. Go back and look at how many over. Just do it in the postseason.
You can't throw.
Every team gets the ball. I guarantee you that may add 15 to 20 reps, maybe.
It will, and that's why they're gonna. The owners are not going to go along with it. The owners want 18 games, as you know, because it's very difficult trying to convince people to go to a game that doesn't count. And these games, these preseason games, mean less right now because the regulars don't play anymore. In the old days, the regulars would play some. They don't even play anymore. So they can't sell tickets for these things. They've got to include them in season ticket packages, and that's becoming an issue. So the owners want the two extra regular season games. They're not going to, the Players Association is not going to allow. With the safety issue, you have me playing 8 more quarters of football during the regular season. There is no freaking way I'm going to play extra downs during the season for overtime.
It wouldn't include every single team. It would only include the teams that go to the playoffs. So the odds get lower. The percentage.
Well, why wouldn't you
lowers.
Do it during the regular season? You'd have a different rule for the postseason than the regular
like
season.
Yeah, I start there. I would.
Well, the difference in hockey is 1 out of 82 where somebody wins in a shootout is not that big a deal. It's entertainment for 82
but it's
games.
But still, the game is too important.
The 16 NFL games, and that one game could be the difference of a team going to the postseason or not going to the postseason.
I just don't think it's right where one team doesn't even get a chance to touch the ball. That's it.
I'm going to bet they don't change it. All right? I'm going to bet they don't change it.
I'll bet you that money you owe Lou.
What do you mean, Iolu?
I don't owe him anything. We even did that.
Hold on.
We had a deal. We had a side deal.
It was both of us. What do you mean, side deal? What's a side deal?
I decided to live on my own.
So far, Solaire's just spit on both.
By the way, coming up in the next hour, we have a brand new addition to the program. It is called our Emotional Comfort Room. And the first person going into it's a closet, really. Let's admit it's not a room. It's kind of like that closet that you and I were broadcasting from in the Super Bowl. But it's an emotional comfort room. It's basically when one of us want to unleash our true emotions, and we're too chicken bleep to actually do it on the air because we're afraid we're going to get suspended for a week. So this kind of protects us. And today, in the debut episode,
Scorched Earth Post Deflate Gate F*** You Tour.
Yeah, I don't like that. Christian is going into the emotional comfort room.
I can't wait to get into it sometime.
And wait till you hear who he's going to lambaste. You're going to love it. Coming up in the next hour.
Patriots are headed to Super Bowl 53 to face the Rams. Talk about it now. Now back to OMF on Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI.
There's pass interference on the interception. There's no freaking doubt. The guy hits him early. Fowler hits him, and Johnson intercepts the ball. But Johnson went at him. I mean, that was clearly pass interference. Now, you could say the ball was tipped. Bullshit. You could just go back and watch it. Just like you could say that Julian Edelman touched that ball. But when you really look at it, you could see the ball never changed direction. You could see his arm got hit. They didn't touch the ball.
That's Mike Lombardi. We need Lombardi in our little emotional comfort room. I mean, I like the Lombardi I hear when I hear the podcast. He is all over Andy Reid. He's basically saying that what we got in this game on Sunday was the Andy Reid you always get. When the clock gets down to 3 minutes left in a game, Andy Reid will screw it up.
If you understand game management and you understand how this part of the game is so important, you would call a run. What does Andy do? He calls a pass. Incomplete, stop the clock. Second and 10. What does he do again? Interest in keeping the clock going, right? Calls another pass. Gets bailed out. Pass interference. Now we can regroup ourselves. We can now pay attention to the clock management. We're going to go to the, we're going to go eat at the buffet line. We're going to go through the line right away, right? How many times have I said, don't be the fat guy at the buffet line and eat fast, right? How many times have I said that?
Too many times to me.
Wow, it's like he's scolding him. How many times did I tell you to put your dishes in the dishwasher?
Don't be the fat guy at the buffet line and eats fast.
I love that. He said, why can't we get this Mike Lombardi on Friday? This Mike Lombardi is awesome. And I'm telling you, he's not alone. I think there are a lot of guys probably in that league. Who knows? Maybe down in Foxborough.
Henry Kissinger said in his memoir.
Yeah, that's what we get on Friday. Even down in Foxborough, I think there are a lot of guys that respect Andy Reid and they like him personally, but they all chuckle at when you get down to the last 3 minutes, you can steal his lunch.
I got a hard time, though.
If Andy would read Gridiron, I think he would be a better coach.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
Promote the book.
Wait a second. Hold on.
That's called a promotion.
I mean, that is like, isn't that kind of like, is that allowed? Isn't that kind of like, you know, feel like, you know, two peers.
You can do whatever you want.
But it's not the comfort room. It's not the comfort room podcast. We haven't come up with a name yet.
Don't be the fat guy at the buffet line and eats fast.
I think he's reaching there. I
do too.
I don't think he likes Andy Reid, and he's really searching for something to get on him. So he's talking about that drive when they were down 24-21, and they start off their own 32. And, you know, there's 3:26 to go. Well, if I got a crystal ball and I know I'm going to take the ball and get it down to down the field inside the 10, then yeah, I'm going to methodically, you know, run on first down, gain 4 or 5.
Yeah, cuz everything will work out just the way
I'm
I planned it to.
I'm going to complete a pass and then maybe third and short, I'll just run it up the gut and I'll continue to tick 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 tick, so when I score, I won't give Brady another opportunity.
Correct.
So, if you know all that, then yeah, he screwed up. But what did he do? He put it in the hands of his quarterback. I mean, I don't know if he realized
he had to score, right?
Yeah, but yeah, he was down 3, and Damian Williams wasn't exactly running the ball very well, so they had to score, so they put the ball in the hands of the quarterback. Now, did he get bailed out? Sure, it was pass interference, okay. But this is what they were doing. They were throwing. So what I'm wondering is he ripping the Patriots? Well, with a minute 57 to go, you know, down 4. They came out, pass. Finally, Burkhead touchdown, but they left 42 seconds on the clock. So did Bill, did Tom, did Josh screw up when he gave him 42 seconds to go? Why were they passing? Why weren't they eating the clock? Because, Mike, they're trying to score.
That's it.
You don't have the crystal ball. You don't know. You started off on your own 27-yard line.
See, in the other part,
just to run the clock out of down.
Yeah, there's one other part of it, and that is that you trust Brady a little bit more, and I agree with you. Burkhead had to score. He could have stopped at the one-yard line and gone down, but you can't do it because you need to score.
Well, they were down four.
Right.
I mean,
I'm saying he could have delayed it and say we've got one more play to get in the
Chiefs
end zone.
Chiefs who were down three, ideally, ideally, I'm sure they'll have to be first and goal from the five with 32 seconds to go, down three.
Lou, the dumbest thing you could do.
How do you know you're going to be there? You got to try to get the ball downfield.
But the dumbest thing you could do is tell the kid slow down. That's how the kid operates. You're dealing with a young quarterback who put 31 points up in the second half of that game, right? So what you want to do is you want to tell the kid, we need to score. You can't slow him down, and you're right. They weren't running the ball effectively. They needed to throw the football.
Yeah, but I remember there came a time where the two things I was looking at, if I'm calling plays, is at that point in time, it's like, all right, when the Patriots need to score in the fourth quarter, I'm looking at, like, as soon as they cross the 50, I'm looking at time and timeouts, because you don't know. Like, you, I'm sitting there going, wow, it would be really nice if the Patriots really milked this as much as possible and took, like, every last second off the clock. Well, they got a big play. They got another big play. Next thing you know, they score. Oh, crap. Well, they're getting the ball back, and they got over 3 minutes. Okay, now that mentality shifts. How do I use every last bit of time here? Well, next big play. Holy crap. We scored also. Now we got to start all over again.
It's different. You start thinking about, okay, let's figure this out because we don't want to give the ball back to Tom. Once you get into field goal range, right, where you know you can at least tie the game down three. In other words, if there's that big play from Sammy Watkins, if something got him down to like the 20, and they look up there and they see 2:06 to go, and it's like, okay, now what are we doing here? Okay, now maybe let's run the ball, get to the 2-minute warning, or throw the ball to the 2-minute warning. Let's run a couple plays, give them to burn their timeouts, still try to score a touchdown. But if we don't, there'll be 10 seconds left and we're kicking a field goal.
Yeah.
And now maybe we go to overtime because we don't give the ball back to Tom with two minutes to go. Minute and a half.
Not Andy. No.
But they were on their own. They were on their own 37-yard line.
It sounds like he hates them.
He hates them. Don't be the fat guy at the buffet line.
Like, those are a bunch of cheap shots. Fat guy at the we know he's large.
Yeah, but you know what?
That is a guy taking cheap shots.
But
we're
going
to go eat at the buffet line. We're going to go through the line right away, right?
He does, however. Like, actually, I wonder if he was mad at Bill. He wasn't mad at Bill. He was mad at Burkhead.
Right.
We have that?
The Burkhead.
Oh.
Which?
You just texted me. I thought you had that sound.
No, I didn't say that. That's just what I said.
I said, well, you said Spider?
What? That was his editorial. Ryan's giving his opinion.
Did he say that?
He did say that, yes.
Okay.
Well,
he said that Burkhead should have. On the podcast, apparently, Lombardi did say that Belichick probably wishes Burkhead had gone down on the one instead of
scoring. You can't do that. I just said that. You can't do that.
You're down four.
You can't do that.
Down three.
You need to score.
If you're down two. That's when you maybe. If you're down two,
yeah,
I get it.
You got the field goal.
End the game with no time left, but you're down four.
That makes zero sense. I'm sorry, it makes zero sense. And we would be killing him the next day if that's what they did. If they instructed Burkhead to go down on one knee, that's just ridiculous. You could become a prisoner of the clock as well. I do think, though, there's something about this with Andy Reid, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if even the guys down in Foxborough, as I said, you know, wink, wink, Andy's a wonderful guy, a chubby guy. Chubby guys are always fun guys. He's been around for how many years? 20, 25 years.
How many times have I said that?
Too many times to me.
How many Super Bowls has he won?
He's not as a threat. A head coach?
He's not a threat.
As a head coach?
Head coach. He's not a threat.
Okay. Mm. None as a head coach.
He's not a threat. People look at him that way.
Wait till he gets sexy Rexy, though.
Can you imagine with those? With
Rex Ryan. I'll tell you what. If I'm him, I am hiring Rex Ryan tomorrow if he wants that job.
Well, there's a prime example, like Lou.
A lot of things with those feet.
Well, why isn't anybody reaching out and screaming at Andy Reid bitching about the fact that Dee Ford should not have gotten an offside penalty? He should have been warned. They should have given him a yellow flag and warned him. Not a real flag, a penalty flag, but a warning flag. Come on.
Does Sutton get fired if D4 doesn't line up offside?
Maybe.
If he does, they got to win. Again. No, he's not getting fired.
Defense caused.
Not this week.
Defense
not this week. Maybe in 2 weeks from now.
His defense would have caused three turnovers.
Maybe 2 weeks from now he gets fired, but not this way. I think we should make it mandatory with Lombardi, because Lombardi's stuff is great. Comes out with us on Friday.
So
maybe we
careful.
Make it mandatory.
Podcast
maybe,
Mike.
Maybe we sit there and we rave. We rave about how great his podcast is, and then say, and when you come on, Mike, can you rip one person?
That was clearly pass interference. Now you could say the ball was tipped. Bullshit.
One guy
That's the beauty of the podcast.
Trump.
Freedom in which you stand in front of that microphone.
There's a Eminem comfort. Yeah. There's a comfort that comes along with it.
You know what it is? It's therapy.
Andy, be ready.
You know, That's why I love the therapy room that we have.
We got it coming up next hour.
I got to tell you.
It's a closet. It's not a room.
There's a mic in there.
It was an empty closet.
That's all it needs
is a mic. It's perfect. There's four walls and a microphone. That's all we need.
Very excited.
I just hope they don't lock you in there.
About this room.
That'd be fine, too. You stay in there, and when you come out, you feel so much better. Right? And then there's no risk of getting in trouble because you have the benefit of the edit button.
Don't you feel better now?
I do feel better. I was hot on the conference call.
If I get into a rant once in a while, it actually makes me feel better. Yeah. Now, I'm not. I don't swear most of the time.
By the room, that closet that you're going into next hour is not much wider than the men's room.
It's fine.
In here. So
it doesn't matter. Suits, no. I want my shirt.
I think maybe next time you go into the men's room and sit right on the...
I'll sit on the toilet.
Here's Phil up in Maine next up on OMF. Hi, Phil.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up?
Not too much. Hey, enjoy your trip next week to Atlanta, and Lou, try to make sure Christian doesn't lose all his money, and then he can see knows you guys might hit up.
Sounds good.
Never.
Anyway, hey, so a lot of guys, a lot of people are talking about how there needs to be rule changes and replay changes and everything else, and it really, to me, it doesn't boil down to they want the game to be fair for everybody. I think they're just so tired of the Patriots winning. They're really just focused on any game that the Patriots are in where there's a controversial call or a controversial play, because we seem to be getting a lot of luck and a lot of the calls going our way. And I understand that. But, when you look at it in a roundabout way, let's say they do make these changes and everything. Well, what's the Patriots? Because, the success won't last forever. What the Patriots do finally come back down to earth and they're not making the run at the Super Bowl and the championships anymore. You're going to be left with all these rule changes, and everybody is going to be pissed, and they're going to complain that their teams are losing because of these same rule changes that got changed because the Patriots are winning all the time.
You're probably right. That's why this overtime rule is not going to be changed, though, because of the safety issue. They can't do it.
You never know. Postseason, you never know in postseason. They might change it in the postseason. But the funny thing is, you could sit there and say, well, if they change the pass interference being reviewed, it's not going to be because of the Patriots. However, your head coach is the one that's been saying it for the last 5 years, and no one's been listening.
Right.
Right? I mean, he's been the one that's presenting it for, I don't know, how many years?
Right.
4 years? 3, 4, 5 years? Well, I don't even know. Every year.
Let's have review for everything.
Same number
of challenges, two, and you get one back if you're right.
Even though that rule change isn't because of the Patriots, you can't blame the Patriots. They'll have to look back and say, you know what, Bill? You were right. Should have listened to you 4 or 5 years ago. Right?
Ooh, that's going to be tough for the NFL to do. That's going to be tough.
You're right.
We'll extend the goalpost.
We will continue talking about the Patriots. Mariano Rivera, unanimous into the Hall of Fame. The first one ever. One guy's still getting screwed, and he's getting screwed because people don't like what he says politically. We're going to get into all of that, and plus Christian takes the first trip into our little emotional comfort room, all coming up in the next hour of OMF.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.